Holy Father, we worship and honor you. You are worthy, Lord. There is none like you. We enter your word with humility, recognizing, appreciating the limitations of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed and coded into this written word. Consequently, we come to ask for help, supernatural assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me, those who will hear physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, that the word will flow freely from you, Father, through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge, emotions to become more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to follow and back the words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and are hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me, receiving every blessing mentioned in that prayer in their individual life, agreed and said, Amen. Hallelujah. Where in 1 John, we started this, I call it Little John. I got that from Kenneth Copeland. You know, Little John. And that's the general epistle of John. The big gospel is called Big John, this is called Little John. And we started last week, and we stopped, I believe, in verse 4. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 4. And in these first portions of scripture, these first few verses, John tells us the purpose for writing this epistle. He said, the word, you know, that which was from the beginning, which is the Lord Jesus Christ as a person, and he personalized him and called him the word of life. He personalized the life of God, rather, and calling him with that title, the word of life. And he said, we've handled him, we were here with him, we spoke with him, we had physical interaction with him. And then he now said, that which we experienced, that fellowship that we experienced, we now want to show it to you so that you too can enjoy the same thing. And that's the purpose of the writing. Now, how are you going to do that? Since you're not going to handle him like they did, you're not going to see him physically like they did. It's talking about a fellowship in the Spirit. The Word of God, that's why the Bible says the Word of God is Spirit and it is life. Jesus himself said that. He said, the words I speak to you, they're Spirit and they're life. So through this written word, and the agency of the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, you can actually have the same communion that the early apostles had, where they fellowship with Jesus, you know, physically and directly. But even though, this is very important, even though their fellowship with Jesus was physical, there was still, even at that time, also a degree of a spiritual fellowship. They understood, they began to understand that this man was not just an ordinary man. They believed he was God, that he was sent from God, and the words he spoke to them, the things they heard from him, the miracles they saw him do, you know, confirmed that reality, and they enjoyed that fellowship with him. Now, he said something that was very important. He said, it is to your advantage that I go away. You know, he says, expedient for you that I leave. He said, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. He said, but if I go, I'm going to send him to you. So, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm going to come back to you, and the same fellowship that you've had with me when I was here physically, you're going to have a better one. Because I'm sending you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. So it is through the agency of that comforter and the written word that these apostles left for us, that we can enjoy the same fellowship and even better than they had when they had with him physically. Enjoyed it physically, and that's why he said to them, my words to speak to you, their spirit and their life. When he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he wasn't talking about eating physically and drinking physically. He was talking about eating, you know, and drinking spiritually. That's why I said, the words I speak, their life. So you're going to eat me spiritually. And he actually, you know, it's amazing. All that stuff's there in the Bible. It was the book of Proverbs. You know, he says, talking about wicked people, he says, they eat the food of violence, they drink the wine of violence. You know, he's using the same, it's the same metaphor. You know, it was in the Bible, although on the negative side, you know, so by fellowshipping with him, you could eat, you know, of him, so to speak. You could drink of him, which is his blood, so to speak. And he spoke of that prophetically. And when the other people left, Jesus said, are you going to leave too? And then Peter said something very important. He said, to whom shall we go? He said, to whom shall you go? He said, you have the words of eternal life. How did he know? He had been fellowshipping with him. Even though there was a physical fellowship, but there was a spiritual fellowship that Peter already had with him. In fact, Jesus himself testified of that. He said, your name is Simon, you know, son of Peter, you know, and upon this rock I will build my church. He said, who do men say I am? He said, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're this, you're that, Elijah, and so on and so forth. And the Lord said, you know, but who do you say I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son. How did he know? That same Holy Spirit that was that revealed, said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is heaven. So by that interaction they had with him, even though it was physical, you know, had a spiritual plane. It had a spiritual component. And it was a spiritual component that they were enjoying that gave Peter that revelation. And Jesus said, yeah, you got it. You know, and that's who I really am. I am the Christ, the Son of the living. And subsequently, he said, the words I speak to you, their spirit and their life. So I said all that to say this. The fellowship they had with him was not only physical, even though he was here physically, and they touched him, they tasted, you know, they handled him of the word of life. He said, now, we want to give you the same fellowship at a higher level. So we're writing these words. And if you read these words, I'm just paraphrasing, and believe them, and interact with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have the same fellowship that we had, and even better. In fact, the scriptures prove it. You know, Paul wasn't amongst them. Paul wasn't among the 12 apostles, the first 12. He wasn't there. But you know, Paul had a deeper revelation, particularly of the communion table, the Last Supper. You know, he said, you know, he said, that which I have received. He wasn't there. he was writing like somebody who was there. He said, that which I have received, that deliver I unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, he was writing as if he was an eyewitness. Even though he was not, he was Peter and all those who were the right there, but he was speaking with the same authority, because another comforter had come. And that comforter had revealed to him the same that those people saw physically, Paul had it spiritually. And really, he actually understood it better than some of them. Maybe not all of them, but he certainly understood it better than some of them. You understand? So that's the point. So what's the point? If you will read this book, and not just 1 John, the whole Bible, and you will fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you will enjoy a higher, and it'll blow your mind. The unbelieving mind doesn't want to accept this. The carnal mind will rebel against it. You will even enjoy a higher level of fellowship than they did, according to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. So with this written word and the Holy Spirit, you can enjoy a higher level of fellowship than the first apostles and disciples had when they had that fellowship with Jesus physically. He said, you want me to stay? He said, but if I stay, it's not to your advantage. He says, if I go and I say you're not comforted, you're going to have a higher level of fellowship. And Paul proved it. So we can and should enjoy that. And that's the essence of this book. And all the whole Bible, really. But, you know, John particularizes it here and says, you know, I said, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. We saw that last week. You know, joy unspeakable and full of glory. When you begin to enjoy intimacy and fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, there is a flow. And this is, we're going to look more about this today. There is a flow of the very Zoe. I like to use the word Zoe because it's stronger than just the word life. Because in English, life means, oh, you know, you're enjoying life, oh, you know, and you live a long life and you had a good life, you know. He's not talking about just natural human existence, which means life too. But, you know, he's talking about the very life of God. The Zoe, the very spiritual substance, I call it the spiritual liquid, the Bible calls it living water. This living water, this substance inside God that makes God God, the very thing that makes God God. It is from this life that all divine attributes proceed. His character, his wisdom, his power, all of it. Now, what Jesus came to give humanity, this is the most precious thing. He came to pay the legal price by dying and you know, shedding his blood and dying and being resurrected so that we could be partakers of that same divine nature. So when you begin to fellowship with him through the word by the Holy Spirit, as I've described, that life begins to flow inside you. That life has inside it joy. Joy is just one of the many attributes of the character of God, as described by, again, the great apostle Paul, you know, in Galatians chapter 5. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit, they're really spiritual forces. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, love, joy, joy, joy. So if you begin the fellowship with him, and the flow of the life of God begins to increase, what's going to happen? Your joy will get full. And then that fullness of joy will give you strength. There are so many Christians, I don't know if that's good English, my wife can correct me. There's so many Christians who don't have enough joy in their lives. And you know why? They're not enjoying fellowship. See, most Christians don't want fellowship. They just want physical blessing. They're like those guys Jesus preached to, you know, and gave them bread and fish, which is fine. God's a good God, you know. God is a good God. He'll give you bread and fish when you're hungry. He's good. He loves us. We're his children, you know. But life is more than food and raiment. You know, so, you know, yeah, you get joy, you get bread and fish, but what of the life? That's the more important one. And so he gave them that, and then they went, you know, came back the next day and they wanted more. He said, no. You know, I'm going to give you my blood and my flesh, which is just symbolic of his life. You know, and the Bible says many of them went away. Sad. That's the reason why so many Christians are sad today. They don't have joy because they want bread and fish, but they don't want flesh and blood. And unless you commune and fellowship with God and get the inflow, the consistent flow of the life of God into your heart in sufficient measure, your joy will not be full. And nothing in this earth will give you that joy. You can get the best plane, you can get the best car, you can get the best clothes, you can get all the material things. If you're not enjoying fellowship with God, your joy will not be full. And guess what? Your strength will not be full. And guess what? Then you become a prey to the enemy because you don't have strength. Prioritize fellowship. Now, I'm going to say something very important here. You know, it's not wrong to seek God for blessings. You know, because you see, there's always a balance in all of these things. You know, I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God for bread and fish. I am saying it is more important to ask for flesh and blood and get life and then get bread and fish. Let's say it another way. The Lord himself said it. Seek ye first. Same thing. Different words, but remember the dream is one. Amen. What is the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, and joy. This is our same Zoe. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Peace and joy are two of the fruit of the Spirit. Righteousness contains all the others. Praise the Lord. The love, the long-suffering, gentleness, all righteousness. Amen? In fact, love and righteousness are actually synonymous. You know why? Love does no wrong. So because love doesn't do no wrong, love automatically is righteousness. So instead of saying love, joy, and peace, Paul said righteousness, peace, and joy. Same thing. Are you listening to me? So that peace, that joy that comes by fellowship, that's what you should seek. He didn't say only, seek it first. He said once you got that, the bread, the fish, and every other thing will come. So it's not wrong. But it's wrong to put it as number one and then only. Sadly, that's what most Christians do. Not only do they seek bread and fish first, they seek bread and fish only. They're not interested in growth, spirituality. They're not interested. Let's come to church so that they can get something from God. And you know, if you're alive like that, God knows your number. He knows your heart. And you know the amazing thing? He'll give you the bread and fish. And then you choke on it. You won't choke on it in Jesus' name. No, look, nobody said amen. Remember the people in the wilderness? I don't remember them. That's what happened. That's what happened. I'm not just, it's not Olubi talking now. Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? He brought them out of Egypt, didn't he? Saved them, gave them, you know, like I was explaining last week, supernatural air conditioning. They wanted the cloud. Yeah, wonderful life. They had heating at night without gas and technology. Amen. The pillar of fire. It wasn't just fire, it was heat. It was, because in the desert at night, it's very cold. They had heat at night, you know, protection from animals and all of that. I don't know. Unbelief is a horrible thing. You know, and then, you know, they got to a place there was, they had food though. They were eating angels' food, freshly baked from heaven. Every morning, the thing fell down on them. Everybody had everything, you know, but they were missing the garlic, the leeks, the onions. And there was no bokoto. Hello? And abodi and this other more delicate things, if we can call them delicate. And they got angry. I so loved that this daily manna gave us flesh to eat. Oh, yeah? All right. Moses, I'll give them flesh to eat. An east wind blew and brought quail from all over the camp. He said they had so much. He said they ate and ate. The thing came out of their nostrils. He said, and while they were eating, God slew the fattest of them. That will not be your portion. No? But for that amen to work, amen. Don't seek first and only bread and fish. We need repentance in the house of God. Our leaders have led us wrong. I don't know if that's good English, but they've led us wrong. It's true. Go to most places and preaching. All you hear is bread and fish. Not only do they make it number one, they make it only. And they're killing the people. Because the destiny of a person who seeks God for bread and fish alone, firstly and alone, is the same destiny that happened to the people in Israel, in the Egypt. They will never, the promised land of perfection and fullness, they will never enter it. They will perish in the wilderness, and it's that same thing they are eating that will choke them. It's very sad. And that's why, thank God, you know, mercy of God for people like me, but not just me alone, and others, you know, who come and teach you the right thing. You know, that's what the Bible says, that the man of God, you know, it says the scripture is given. All scripture is given by the Spirit of God for correction. That's what I'm doing. And instruction in righteousness. That's what I'm doing. Correction. We have to correct this nonsense. So, yes, seek first the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy. Enjoy fellowship, then get the bread and fish. Okay? Now let's move on. Verse 5. This then is the message. I didn't hear you. That we have heard of him and declare unto you. In other words, he's given a summary. This is not only true of 1 John, it's true of the whole Bible. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Everybody shout it. And in him is no darkness at all. Scream it. That should be a pillar of your Christian life. You know, most Christians don't believe this. They say they do, but they don't in practice. When something bad happens, you know what they're thinking? God's doing something. It's God who. The Bible says, in him, there is no darkness at all. Now, let's first of all define what light is. It is light. Remember, light here is being used both, watch this. It's being used both literally and figuratively. First of all, let me talk about the literal. That one's very easy, you know. You know, I'm a physics guy. You know, God is light. Just like God is life. And God is love. Are you listening to me? But all of it comes from the light. Life. That life has light inside. How do I know? The person who has it was the one who told me. He said that if you walk in the light of life, it's not the life of light. It is the light of life. You have to get it. Most people don't, Christians don't get this. Light of life, it is not the life of light. It is not the light that brings the life. It is the life that brings the light. It is, God is love. But where is the love? The love is inside the life. Because the life is love. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. So even the love is a consequence of the life. That's why he didn't come that you may have love abundantly. He didn't come that you may have light abundantly. He came that you may have life abundantly. Because when you have life abundantly, you will have light abundantly and you will have love abundantly. So, light is literal. Now, you know, in physics and in the natural world, Albert Einstein stumbled on this truth over 100 years ago when he wrote the General and Special Theories of Relativity, that the highest form of energy in the physical world, nothing moves faster than the speed of light. You know, but we know from the Bible that yes, physical light, this one you can see, the one that's come from the sun, you know, is the high in the physical world, but it's not the highest form of energy. Because God made that light. Now, if you want to, I can prove that to you straight from the Bible. Do you know that there was a light before the light? Read your Bible properly. Hello. He made the sun and the moon, or made them to appear on the fourth day. But there was a light B at the beginning. The light B was bigger than the light that walked and came. That one was the one that came from inside God. It's higher, much higher than this light. Now, this light is good, but God's light is higher. That's why you see in the New Jerusalem, we don't need this one. He said, the Lord shall be the light thereof. He said, it has no need for sun or moon, because the Lord is the light of it. He's literally light. Literally, God is light. The light comes from the life. That's where anywhere God is, there cannot be darkness. Have you read the scripture where it says that darkness and light are the same to him? God, there is no night with God. There's night with you. But none with God. Because once God gets there, it's not night again. Because what is coming out of him dispels the darkness. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, so God is not just his light literally, but it's a spiritual light which is higher than the physical light energy that we know of. Thank God for that, you know. But it's much, much, much higher, you know. I don't want to deviate, but you know, this is one of the reasons why spiritual things are invisible. They're operating above the speed of light. We know that from even ordinary physics. The reason why you can't see X-rays and we have what's called the electromagnetic spectrum. You've heard of this before, ultraviolet, and you've heard of infrared. Infra just means smaller. Infrared signals are below the red because you got the spectrum of light, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. So anything, the frequency, when the frequency or the energy, let's keep it simple, when it's lower than red, we call it infrared. That's where we get heat. And then, you know, you go down. And then when it's higher than violet, we call it ultraviolet. That's the one you don't want to come through. That's why we have an atmosphere around the earth. Because if the ultraviolet one comes, the energy is so much, if it hits your skin, give you cancer and kill you. That's why you're black. Another message for another day. God put a special pigmentation in your skin to protect you from the ultraviolet rays. If he didn't, you'd be dead. Thank God you're black. Give your God a clap offering, somebody. That's free of charge. Anyway, so you got this light spectrum, and all those things, you know, things like radio waves and all of that, they're all under the red. That's why we can use mobile phones and it doesn't hurt us, because the frequency is smaller. If mobile phones were operating at ultraviolet, we couldn't use them. Hello, somebody. How come we're dealing with somebody who knows what he's doing? Give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. Now you can't see the mobile phone wave because it moves at the speed of light. You know, I use this illustration, I used to teach foundations of faith classes. You take a fan, if you start revolving it, you know, you won't see the three veins anymore. It's not because they're not there, it's because the way you are seeing it, your perception is changing because of its energy. Now, if the energy goes faster and faster and goes above the speed of light, it'll disappear. It doesn't mean it's not there, it's just that it's above a level of energy that your physical senses can perceive. That's the reality of spiritual things. Are you listening to me? God is literally light. But that light is far above our own light. That's why you can't see God. That's why he's invisible. And that's why he also said something. He said he dwells in lights that no man can approach or see. And he told Moses, Moses didn't understand. Moses said, show me your glory. God laughed. He said, I need to give this guy a physics lesson. But all right. He said, you can't look at me. Not because I don't want you to. Not in all my glory. If you see the brilliance of my face and the light that is emanating from me, it will fry you up. That's Olubi translation. So he said, but it's a good thing you want to know me. He said, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I will bring you around. I'll put you behind a rock. All right? Then I'll walk by. But you won't see my face. He said, I will. Then I will open a little bit of my backside. And you will see the afterglow. And Moses saw the afterglow. When he came down, the people on the ground could not look into his own face. That was just a reflection of the afterglow, not the real thing. Give the Lord another clap offering. The man is literally light. God is light. It's not just figurative, it's literal. But spiritual light now, that is even above the energy of the physical light that we have. So that's what the Bible means when it says God is light. You know, and there's so many other scriptures I could give you. And there are times when God has appeared to people and they've seen him. You know, I'll just give you two more things. You know, where they've seen him, for example, the children of Israel, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, when they were still alive, one of the reasons why God was very angry with them, you know, because they're seeing God. You know, and I think it's in Exodus 24. And God called, he said, Moses, bring the 70 elders. You know why God did that thing? He wants them to know that I'm real. It's not only Moses I've appeared to. I want all of you to see me. And they all came. You know what God did? He turned down the intensity. God does that all the time. You know, you just turn down. How many people know these potentiometer lights? You know this light switch? Eh? There's one in my wife's room. You know, I think one in my room too. I do my own works, praise the Lord. But I know hers works. You know, and you know, you come and you switch the light on. If you do like this, go like that, it'll go very bright. Then if you do it like, you can dim it to the, that's what God does. So anyways, they said, and they saw the God of Israel. They didn't see him in his fullness. So he had toned the thing down to almost zero. Then they saw him, you know, and under his feet was like the clear something of heaven and all of that. And, you know, the Bible says, and he touched them and he talked to them. That's why he was very angry with Nadab and Abihu when they offered strange fire. He didn't give them even, he didn't even give their father a chance to intercede for them. He killed them instantly. Hello? So, does God do that? Ah, he has two sides, goodness and severity. See, once God's giving you understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and then you now act stupidly, you know, in the when you know. You see, when you don't know God, because you don't know. When you know, and then you deliberately something, sometimes God just, they go, well, they're into heaven, no, don't misunderstand me. But, you know, God made it as an example, you know, for generations to come. The other one I want to show you is, if you look at the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4, you see God seated on the throne. The Bible describes, like, he calls him a jasper and a ruby. Ruby is red. Hello, give it to me. In the Amplified Bible. I like the Amplified. In this Revelation chapter 4, verse 2. One of my favorite scriptures. Good. Now, give me in the Amplified. Yeah. He says, and he who sat there appeared like the crystalline brightness, I'm talking about God is light, of jasper and the fiery sardius. Now watch this. And encircling the throne, there was a what? Halo that looked like a what? The rainbow of an emerald. What's he saying? You know, the day the Lord showed this, I laughed my head off. He said, you've been reading this scripture for years and you hadn't seen it. That's just a spectrum. God's light. So inside, the deep inside of him is white light. That's the crystalline. So as he begins to go out of his body, the thing begins to go into the red. So that's why you get the ruby. And then you see the rest of the, it's when you move away from the throne, you now see the rest of the rainbow. It's like a halo. God is light. Literally. Now, figuratively, God is also light. We've done the literal. Figuratively, God is light. What do we mean by that? Figuratively, light means wisdom. Light means goodness. Light means righteousness. Light means just, you know, equity. God is, those are the three aspects of God's nature. God is love. I would say God is love. God is righteous. And God is just. You know what? Most Christians like the love part. They don't really like too much of the righteousness and the justice part. You cannot know God, or what you have is a caricature of what God really is. If you only take one part of something, you don't get the real God. You get a God you formed in your own mind. God is righteousness. God is love. That you think Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. You know, I just hear it running. You know, he says, that's the reason why, you know, he says that you may know me. He says, don't boast in this, don't boast in that. Say, boast in that you know me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, righteousness. Now, it is these are the three pillars. He will never do anything contrary to them. That's what he means. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness. And then he put the word at all. So if you see, this thing helped me when I was a young Christian. You know, thank God for good teachers like, you know, E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Hagin, and others, you know, that God helped me to study on under, you know, Brother Copeland, Derek Prince, and many others. You know, one of the things that was drummed into me is this. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Now you now see a scripture like this inside the Bible. Is there evil in a city and the Lord not done it? It's in the Bible. It's Isaiah 45. Is there evil? Give me that scripture. Is there evil in a city and has the Lord not done it? Then you begin to wonder, does God do evil? I create light and I create darkness. Then you now begin to have to interpret scripture in the light of scripture. This is an example of what I talked about when I was teaching in 1 Peter, when it says, they that are unlearned and unstable rest the scriptures to their own destruction. You read things like that and you begin to wonder. So when something happens to you, you begin to say, has the Lord not done it? You don't, you know, you nobody will say it out, but it's deep inside their heart. They begin to, You know that's why some Americans are afraid of the will of God. Honey, they don't want to know the will of God. Oh. They are afraid because they, oh no, God going to send me to China to go and kill me. Hello. Come on, folks, let's be honest. Stop this religious, stop wearing all these masks, take it off. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? It's the truth. Man, Christians are afraid. They're afraid they're going to go. I'm going to love my shit. We don't know what God's going to do. He may ask me to leave my studies. Oh God. You know, he may. I read in the Bible one person. Hey, praise the Lord. You know. So I don't even want to know the will of God. Because it may be too expensive. Maybe he's going to kill me. Maybe he's going to send me to China. I was going to leave her. He won't let me stay in Abuja again. He's going to send me to Sokoto. No contract. No air conditioner. I don't want to know the will of God. I'm telling you, this is what goes on the minds of millions of Christians every day because they don't understand. That everybody shouted, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The best thing you can ever know and walk in is the will of God. You know why? My thoughts towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil to bring you to an expected end. Now watch this. It just came by tweet. He said, even though getting you that expected end may take you through the valley of the shadow of death. You will go through the valley of the shadow of death, but it won't touch you. It's just a shadow. Come on. Trust him. Trust him. So when you read scriptures like, is there evil in a city? And the Lord has not given me that. It's Isaiah 45, I think. What? Amos 3:6. Thank you. A lot of people don't like all those minor prophets. Most born again New Testament Christians, you know, they tell you, I only read the New Testament. I don't like those prophets. But your education is not complete. You're unlearned if you don't read those parts, because all scripture is given by inspiration. Right. Now, shall a trumpet be blown in the city? And the people be not afraid. Shall there be evil in the city? And the Lord has done it. Now, how many people know that God doesn't do evil? Doesn't do evil. So, how can I now interpret this kind of scripture? What is the understanding? The understanding is simply this. If there is evil in a place, God has allowed it. Not that God did it. God has allowed it. And then you have to find out what the people did. Because he's a God of justice. You have to find out. The people must have done something to allow the evil to come. For instance, again, you know, this is one scripture. I'll give you another one. You know, and an evil spirit from the Lord. I'm dealing with God is light and him is darkness. This is very, it's fundamental, honey. So many Christians are confused about this thing. Because they read these things in the Bible and all these things program in their mind. And their mind is all, that's why you need to renew your mind. That's why you need to listen to apostolic prophetic teaching like this. That will clear the, in the light you will see light. That will clear all the cobwebs that are inside the mind. Watch this. An evil spirit from the Lord. It says, and the spirit of the Lord departed from him. And an evil... Does God have an evil spirit? God is light. In him is no darkness at all. I'll give you another one. Ahab. Ramoth Gilead. Most of the people don't know that scripture. First Chronicles, or it's either First or Second Chronicles 22, something like that. You know? And this silly king, you know, Ahab, was going to fight. He was a prophet. I think it's Micah, one of the prophets. And he said, should I go? And that one said, go. He said, you know, I've told you not ever to tell me lies. He said, if not for Jehoshaphat, I won't even talk to you. And he said to himself, what should I do? So he said, I was taken up to heaven, and I saw the Lord, and God had the devil and some of his people around. I remember who goes, the devil goes to God's throne in heaven. Hello. How many people know? Usually that's why you are uneducated. You are spiritually illiterate. That's why you need to go and read your Bible. So you will know. Are you listening to me? And you have to read the whole thing. And then you now read the light, that God is light, and you know that then everything will become clear to you. Yes. Was it not God that called devil's attention to Job? Where was the devil? At the throne of God. He said, one day the sons of God came and the devil too came. How did he do that? He used to be there. He was created by God. Perfect. In all his ways. Full of wisdom and beauty. Perfect in wisdom. He just got corrupted when he something. So God has to be just to all of creation. You know, there things God doesn't just do things like you and I. Do you understand? Yes, Satan rebelled. He was kicked out of heaven. But the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So there's still things he still has. Now, God is planning his final Waterloo. But he has to give him a legal trap for him to do the thing that he should not do. For God to do what God should do. God doesn't just do anything. If you don't understand justice, you can't understand that. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So Satan and his friends come. You know, and God said, which one of you will be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab? And a lying spirit came forth and said, I will. God said, go, and you will prevail. So how can God do that? Because of Ahab. And his heart. Ahab doesn't want the truth. The one that troubleth Israel. He doesn't want the truth. He's been told the truth. He didn't want the truth. The Micah told him the truth. He said, don't go. He said, I saw all Israel as sheep without a shepherd. And the king was struck. Then the lying spirit now came through this false prophet. And the lying spirit operates in church too, you know. Yeah, this false, who told him what he wanted to hear? And he listened to the false prophets and took on his kingly robes and went to the battle. And it looked as if it would not happen. In fact, Jehoshaphat, silly Jehoshaphat in that sense, he's a good man, but he was... That's why evil association corrupts good manners. Don't say because it's a Christian, we are all Christians. If you go to battle with them, you can get yourself into trouble. It's not everywhere you go. Even though they're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because one can be the house of Ahab. Another one can be the house of Saul. Don't go and perish with Saul. And don't go and perish with Ahab. Another, just free of charge. Are you? It's the word of the Lord, who? So, anyway, they go to Ramoth Gilead. The battle begins. They begin to chase Jehoshaphat, the enemy. They thought, the people gave them instruction. They said, don't go after anybody except the king of Israel. God had his number. It's God's justice. So they began to chase Jehoshaphat, thinking he's Ahab. Because of the standard, you know, those days the kings would carry their colors and everything. So Jehoshaphat cried unto the Lord. Thank God for mercy. So they said, when they saw it was not the king, he said they turned back from him. Then he said, a man, peradventure, he just took an arrow. He didn't aim for Ahab. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He didn't aim for Ahab. He just shot an arrow, you know, at random. We'll say in physics.
Just random. The arrow went. Ahab was wearing armor. It went through the hole in the armor and pierced his heart. It says, and he stayed in his chariot and he began to bleed. And as it was the day, as the sun was setting, Ahab died in his chariot according to the word of the Lord given by the prophet. But what are we saying? Everybody say, God is light. And there is no darkness at all. Just before I close, look at James chapter 1. This should settle you, folks. I've only done one verse today. But this verse is so important. It's so important. It's fundamental. You must understand that God is light. So when evil happens, it's a consequence of man's disobedience, man's rebellion in cooperation with Satan. And God allows it because the man would have been warned. Go and check anywhere in the Bible. God will never allow anything without having given warning, and shown the way of righteousness. When they reject it, that you see these things. Is it clear? Thank you. Let no man. Oh, no. Everybody's going to read this one. If you open your mouth, I don't care where you are in this auditorium. Everybody say, let no man. Turn to the neighbor and say, including you and me. Say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Next verse. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This is the root of evil, though. He said the love of money is the root of evil. What is lust? It's a desire inconsistent with the will of God. Once you begin to start wanting something, you are creating evil. But I'm not done yet. Next verse. Verse 15. Then last one, jump to 16. This is a very important verse. Do not err. Everybody scream it. My beloved brethren. Talk to your neighbor. Say, God is talking to you. He's talking to me. We must not err. How do you err? Next verse. How do you err? Next verse. Every good gift. I didn't hear you. And every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Anytime you say God is doing evil, you are erring. Any interpretation of scripture that surmises or implies that God is doing evil is an error. You know why? He just told you. He is a perfect father. The father of lights. Hey, look, listen to the words. Good and perfect gift. It comes from him. They say he doesn't change. So he's not the kind of person who give a good gift today and a bad gift tomorrow. Good and perfect. It comes from him. It says, if you've been evil, know how to give good things to your children. How much more shall your Father in heaven give good? Did he say evil thing? Good things to them that ask him. He said, if you ask for a bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for egg, will you give him a scorpion? God is trying to establish you in his character. If evil comes, and it does come, it's Satan and the lust of man that's causing it. The good news is, I got to close. We'll see this in my next lesson. You know, after Easter, next week is Easter, and then after that, you know, will be this.
When there's darkness, you can get rid of it by the blood of Jesus. By honesty, by confession of sin. But be established in this. Don't ever allow anything on this earth, any experience, anything you read about anybody, even in the Bible. I remember for years, people would be using the book of Job to say, you don't know his God. You know, it's God who killed Job's children. It wasn't God who killed Job's children, it's the devil. God allowed it, yes, but it was the devil. And we now know how the devil came in. That which I feared came upon me. And when Job corrected it, go and read the beginning and the end of the book. At the end of the book, God appeared to Job and said, now, who is this that darkens my counsel, whose words are without knowledge? And the scripture tells that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That's what happened. He said, now, dress up yourself and talk to me like a man. He said, where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Began to tell him all kinds of things. You know what Job said? He said, I have heard about you with my ears. Now I have seen you with my eyes. I repent in dust and ashes. I have spoken of things that are above me that were too wonderful for me. And God said, all right. So now I pray for your friends. The Bible says, and the Lord, and Job repented and prayed for his friends. It says, and when Job prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity and gave him twice as much as he ever before. That's the true story. So you don't have to go through what Job went through because you have the book of Job. Job didn't have the book of Job. I'll say that again. You don't have to go through what Job did because Job didn't have the book of Job, but you have the book of Job. So you learn from Job. That doesn't mean you won't have temptation and all of that, but it doesn't have to go to that extent. You know exactly what to do to stop it. I'm not talking to anybody here. I would say, God is light! And in him is no darkness at all. I would say, at all. At all. At all! There is no unrighteousness in God. There is no lack of loving kindness in God. There is no lack of justice in God. Not at all. So no matter what you see happen, you got to go and investigate. If you search deeply enough, you will see why what happened, happened. God does not give evil today and good tomorrow. He's not schizophrenic. Like some of our shrinks. Are you listening to me? He is light and in him is no darkness at all. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let that be an established pillar of your Christian life, no matter your experience. I like what one man of God said many years ago. He said, either God is a liar or I'm a liar. I pick me. Amen. Because God is not a liar. The fault is always on the human and the demonic side. God give people light, give them love. Says that which may be known of God is shown unto them, for God had made it known unto them. He said, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. That's always the reason. And then when they want evil, then God will not allow it. It's what you wanted in your heart. And he does that in righteousness and in justice. And it doesn't do with sarcasm either. Because many times you give a long rope. You see somebody getting away with evil for so long. You think God is sleeping. He's not sleeping. The long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's light. You need to understand it.
The King of my shepherd,
whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack.
I nothing
since I am his.
Since I
is mine.
And he
is mine forever. Sing it again. Verse 1 again. The King of love, my shepherd is.
The King of love, my shepherd.
Whose goodness faileth never. Of living water.
Streams of living
waters flow. My ransom soul, healing death and weathered pastures grow with food. Hallelujah.
In death,
hallelujah. In my side, glory to God.
Thou set the table in
thy unction, glory to God. Grace bestowed. A table in my sight.
Thy spread a table in my sight. Thy
compassion grace bestowed.
And all the
transport of delight from thy child. Length of days.
And so
hallelujah.
The length of
thy goodness. Hallelujah.
This faileth never.
Good shepherd.
Good shepherd. May I sing thy praise within thy house.
The good shepherd, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, who is light and in him there is no darkness at all. His goodness doesn't fail.
Good shepherd, will I sing thy praise within thy house forever.
Father, we come in Jesus' name. Raise that hand.
touch your heart. The heart is symbolic of your honesty and your sincerity. The hand is symbolic of your total dependence on the mercy and grace of God from heaven. These are symbolic things, but don't do them just as routine. Do them with understanding. We're going to pray in a minute. But before we pray, I want each person to do this individually. Wherever you've doubted God's goodness, repent now. Maybe something bad happened to you. Maybe in your family. Say, ah, God, I didn't let this kind of thing happen to us. Always know that it's light in whose darkness at all. You need to go check. Go and check. And be honest. Go and check. Maybe there's something somewhere, lack of knowledge or something. God doesn't do evil. Never. 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 And if he has allowed it, if you will walk with him, he will work you out of it. He will show you the way out. Bible says, in all things, God is working for the good of them that love him. That's why it says, is any afflicted, let him pray. When you pray, you get two things. You get wisdom concerning the situation, and then you get power to get out of it. Don't get angry. Don't get bitter with God. It's never God's fault. The fault is always on the human and the demonic side. Many times the human and the demonic are in cohorts. Dishonesty, unforgiveness, strife, unbelief, pride, hidden things. Sometimes you're not even conscious of, and God is trying to get your attention. Say, God, I'm sorry. I know you're good, and in you there is no variableness to the shadow of turning. I humble, like be like Job. Say, I repent in dust. I humble myself. Now, help me. When you respond like that, you're going to see help. And he will bring you out of it. Now raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins. Especially the sin of unbelief and the folly of attributing evil or unrighteousness or injustice to you. We receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And the purging of our consciences from every dead work, Lord God, and a guilty conscience ascribing evil to God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word this morning, reminding me of your unchanging character, that you are light, and in you there is no darkness at all. No lack of compassion. No unkindness. No unrighteousness. No injustice. Oh God, I stand on the platform of this truth from today forever. No matter what happens, I will always remember that you are light, and in you is no darkness at all. If there's any problem, I will look inward. I will look inward so that you will show me whatever it is or that I am doing or not doing that has allowed this to happen. And I will correct it, and by your mercy and grace, I will come out of it. Father, I thank you because you're a good God. And your goodness faileth never. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nekatofrenengaras. Lopriki tofrenes. Jikitolom kurkula. Tolom tulam tufri de frifresh. Mercy. Tolom talam tulam tulam tufri de frifresh. Tolom tulam tufresh. Tolom tulam tufri de frifresh. Tolom tulam fresh. Lambre tufresh. Lambre kama tufri de frifresh. Tolom kara. Lambre tukum shaki tufre. Lambre kama tulam. Lambre tufri de frifresh. Zufri. Lambre kama tulam. Jike tufri nengara. Tufri nes. Nengaras. Tolom tufres. Tolom shakaras. Jike tufri nes. Nengaras. Tolomas. Tolomas. Tolushkes.
Alamangaras, Zikitufrenes, Dongereas, Tolomaros, Neras, Tolomastes, Doloberis, Tolomeas, Niras, Nofres, Dolomeras, Tufrenes, Neras, Tushkefrenes, Tolomangar, Tufrensk.
In Jesus' name.